Jalen Ramsey was number one on many people's draft boards. Miles Jack was number one on many people's draft boards, if not for the injury. And Jacksonville has gotten a vote.
Bangham rolling, throwing, picked off. Miles Jack.
That guy can be your star like Luke Kuechly is in Carolina. He can upgrade the whole defense. Kuechly was the best linebacker I've ever graded in coverage.
Really?
Until I graded Miles Jack. Miles Jack is a spectacular coverage linebacker. He's not just good or solid. He is elite.
Just because this team had a top five pick doesn't mean they're a losing team. They had a losing year, that's all. I can't wait for this team to get back to the top, and I want to be one of the guys helping do that.
That's enough.
I'm just so excited, man.
He's a special athlete. This kid is just, of all the tape I've watched, this is a different cat.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Heck, Tony, even on this Monday morning, I can't help it. Steal the Show Lady makes me smile.
Steal the Show Lady makes me laugh, but the open there...
That's a little trolling on Tyler Devitt's
Miles
part.
Yeah, I mean, you saw me. I was just rubbing my temples the whole time. Like, I don't understand what this team is doing. If we watched that first touchdown when it looked like Puz was supposed to have Travis Benjamin, whatever the heck was supposed to happen, and you're watching everyone get washed, Dan Scuda's going the wrong direction, if you don't think you can get more out of that than Miles Jack, I mean, just put him on the field.
Right. Are we going to rapidly reach a point where it doesn't matter? And you hate to say that 2 weeks in the season. Just put him out there and live with the mistakes he's going to make, because that's the other thing, too. He will make mistakes. He is a rookie, after all. He may be a supremely gifted, talented player, but he is a rookie and he will make mistakes. And remember that if you're clamoring for him to be on the field right now. When he makes rookie mistakes and he's in the wrong position, that you've got to deal with it if it comes to that. Now, with that, I don't think we need to belabor it much more, honestly, you and I, okay? Because we're going to break early, because we don't take as many phone calls as we could on this program, because we have a lot of guest hosts and things like that, and we want to get their opinion, but we want your feedback today, and we understand it's not going to be positive. Here's all we ask, okay? No cursing, okay? No.
Today's the day I wish we had a satellite show.
Well,
you know, so that we can let people be a little bit more unfiltered, but it is still a PG show.
Right. It is stay within the basic confines of civility. No cursing. No ugliness. Okay. I mean, that doesn't mean you can, anything within reason will go. Okay. But we'll be the arbiters of what's within reason on that, because I've seen a couple of things on the text line. They're quite frankly disgusting. Okay. And have no room for that in any kind of football discourse or any other kind for that matter. And you know exactly who you are out there. But beyond that, that's a slim little percentage. Get it off your chest. We feel for you, man. Look, you don't need to know how much Tony and I care about this team. We do care about the team. We understand you do as well. And we're going to give you the opportunity to get it off your chest today. So the question of the day is, hell, there's no question. Just say what you got to say.
Get it out.
Okay, that's what it boils down to. And that's brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. 641-1010 is the phone number. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. At least we can selectively choose to read those. Very happy for the 7 second delay this morning. Tweet us at MD_1010XL at 1010XL Fat Tony. I think Twitter might break this morning with the volume that I've already received. And that's quite all right. We appreciate the feedback. You can hit us up on the Jaguars Today Facebook page if you have a longer rant you want to get off your chest. We'll try to get to some of those later on in the program. No matter what the sentiment is, as long as you keep it within the respectable bounds of civility, express it here to your heart's content. The Jaguars fall 38-14, and it wasn't even that close. Now 0-2, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, a Wild West Guns Go Monday. Back with your feedback next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The character of this team doesn't change. The support, the trust they have for one another. It just, we didn't have a very good day. So, you know, we'll count on that. We'll count on the character to bring us back. And we don't have time to feel sorry for ourselves or point the fingers. We need to find and get these corrections made.
Well, this is going to be a test character, no doubt, Tony. Right? I mean, this week.
It really will.
Right? And a football character. I'm not talking, I'm not making a value judgment on anybody's, you know, moral character, fiber, or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, the only good news about yesterday's game, if there is any good news, is it just counts as one. Like, it doesn't matter how bad it is, it just counts as one as long as you let it sit at one. I still think this is a much more talented team than they've had for the past 2 or 3 years.
But that's what makes it so galling.
I agree, and I think it's a good enough team that, with or without the coaches getting in the way, if you feel like that's what they're doing, I think they're going to win 6 ball games this year. I think they're talented enough that they're going to be able to do that this year. I think there's enough talent on this team that the expectation ought to be that they won 8 or 9 in 2016, and it doesn't feel like they're going to achieve that expectation.
Right, and it doesn't feel that way now. It still could happen. We'll see. You know, right now, it's enough of us. I believe, certainly me, Tony hasn't had as much chance to say his piece as I have, and he's certainly welcome to here, but we want to give you an opportunity this morning to just get it off your chest, whatever it is, and again, try to be as respectful as possible within the bounds of sports talk radio. No cursing, no, you know, no personal attacks on anybody. If you want to evaluate what's been happening with the franchise, you're certainly welcome to do that. Let's get to it. 641-1010, the number. We'll start with Jesse calling in from Miami. Good morning, Jesse. You're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, please.
Oh, man. Good morning, guys. Good morning. Good morning, Jazz Nation. Good morning. Listen, I have 4 things that's a big problem. And, I mean, I play football myself. You know what I'm saying? I play linebacker for Iowa Central before I got in trouble or whatever. But I have 4 problems. Devon House, he's a problem. Jonathan Cyprian, he's a problem. This guy cannot cover. And I wish these guys sit down in the film room and see these guys cannot cover. Jonathan Cyprian, he has the same trait as Josh Evers. Just jump over the field, throwing his body over, act like he's throwing, making plays. And this guy is not doing anything. And I wish these guys see this stuff. Mal Jack needs to be on our field. Simple fact. And these coaches need to teach these DBs to go after the ball instead of trying to look for the tackle, tackle the guy and just waiting on the ball. And Doug Rooney is supposed to be a good offensive line coach. Where's the help at? Because we're getting no help. We're getting killed out there. Thank you guys for taking my call. I got the answer. You're coming.
All right, Jesse. Thank you. I appreciate that. And look, that was pretty concise considering you had 4 major points to make. And we ask you that as well. Get it off your chest, but let somebody else hop in. And look, nobody's good. Trust me, you're not going to find us defending a whole lot this morning.
No.
Yeah, look, we'd all like to see Miles Jack on the field. I do understand that it's not as simple always as, you know, hey, let's throw him out there and say cover this guy, okay? But
I don't expect it to be that simple. I think there's a lack of confidence in what this coaching staff is doing. So for people who are out there that are thinking that Miles Jack isn't on the field because the coaching staff can't get him ready, I think that's a fair criticism.
Absolutely.
And that they have to be good enough to get a guy who is talented enough to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft on a defense that got shredded yesterday. They have to be better than that.
They have to find a way to utilize him in some capacity, right? Hayes Pollard was on the field before Miles Jack yesterday, as far as we could tell anyway. We don't see every substitution that gets made. The O-line, once again, couldn't move couldn't move a bunch of babies up front. I mean, honestly,
no.
You know, we brought this up. You looked up the numbers to confirm this. We believe T.J. Yeldon set an NFL record yesterday. He caught 8 passes and only gained 10 yards. That's the fewest yards anyone has ever gained in an NFL game, catching as many as 8 passes or more. And we understand the screen game. They just kept going to it. And you can understand going into the game why you might have that in the game plan, because Spencer Ware killed him last week with that. But at what point, Tony, what was that play call with 9 seconds left in the first half and no timeouts?
I don't know.
You think a 3-man convoy is going to escort you 50 yards to the end zone?
Honestly, and I don't know if it's statistically the worst game that Blake Bortles has played in a Jaguars uniform, but it's towards the top.
Well, forget the stats.
He was so bad yesterday, and he looked something that I haven't seen Blake look a lot, and that is gun shy. It looked like, I think that's a lot of the dump downs you're talking about, 8 catches for 10 yards for T.J. Yeldon. I thought a lot of it was whatever he saw, he was confused by, and so he was just dumping it off and dumping him off, and all it was a bunch of screens too, but there was nothing going downfield for that team yesterday, and that's supposed to be something they're able to do.
And when they did, he overthrew Julius Thomas on the first one, where I think he had him between two defenders if he sticks it in there, and then he threw the interception into, they had three defenders on two wide receivers, and I'm telling you, I don't know which wide receiver he was throwing that ball to.
I'm guessing Green. Based on where it was, I'm guessing Green.
I thought it was Green, but I'm not 100% sure that it wasn't Allen Hurns on that.
If it was Hurns, he underthrew it by 15 yards.
Well, he overthrew Thomas by about that much, so, I mean, it was that kind of day. All right, let's get back to it. Chris is in Green Cove Springs next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to make 2 points. Some of the comments Gus made at halftime saying, hey, we just need to get back to what we do. You're doing exactly what you always do. You need to start doing something different and try to win some ball games. And then my next point is Blake Bortles, as far as everybody anointing him as a franchise quarterback, I think that's all to be determined. I mean, when you're a franchise quarterback, you have pinpoint accuracy, and then also, you don't throw 300 yards in garbage games only. So he's 0-9 when he throws for 300 yards. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Chris. Not the day to defend whether or not Blake can be a franchise quarterback, I don't think. But not only is he 0-9 when he throws for over 300 yards, his next three highest totals, they also lost. So 0-12 in his top 12 highest yardage games in the National Football League. The whole thing, you have to have pinpoint accuracy. It would help. I mean, Blake completed 62% of his passes yesterday, but again, 8 of those were dumped down to T.J. Yeldon. Yeah. That's going to boost that number.
Yes, it will. And I think if you look at it, they've won 2 games where Blake Bortles in his career has attempted 35 or more passes, 2, which tells you that when this team can't run the ball, at least somewhat effectively, they don't win football games. And through the first 2 games of the year, they haven't been able to run the ball at all. And I think the other thing is, and a lot of people have been sending me screenshots of Blake Bortles through the first couple weeks here. I know I saw Tom McManus mention this on Twitter yesterday, too. He's having some mechanical issues that he was having as a rookie right now, where that ball is dropping really low, and it's not stuff that I pay a whole lot of attention to, but when people are going to point it out to me, I'll point it out too. He is having some of the issues that he had as a rookie that at this point you would think he'd be past, and I don't know why they're back this season, but they seem to be at least early on. And on both interceptions where he was trying to hit Marquise Lee, if you watch him mechanically, his feet aren't right, the ball goes really low, it's the slingshot motion, it's not right. And it's not the Blake that we saw in 2015, and he's got to find some way to get that back right now.
Right, which is not something we thought he would have to go back. We would have to revisit. You thought it was only going to be the arrow pointing in the same direction and continued improvement on that score. 6-4-1-10-10, Jordan in Bartram next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, man, just a couple things to get off my chest real quick. One is coaching. I'm sorry that Pop Warner coach staff could put their team in a better position to win the game than the Jacksonville Jaguars coaching. Second of all, not to bash Paul Leslie, but why is our slowest linebacker guarding their fastest wide receiver on the field and we have Miles Jack on the sideline? And third of all, why Josh Scobie could have made some of those kicks with a blindfold on and one leg tied behind his back. And that's all I got to say.
All right, thanks. I will say this about Scobie. Scobie is currently unemployed in the National Football League. Teams are always looking for kicker. I'm not defending Jason Myers today either. I'm just saying that Scobie is not necessarily the answer. Regardless,
he missed one kick, and it was a 54-yard kick. Right. He's got to be better than he was on that kick, but it was one kick.
Not even close.
It wasn't a good kick.
And it was just one more thing. I mean, he's far down the list of the problems yesterday, but he was not a solution either.
Yeah,
you know, you got an opportunity to put points on the board when you're just hemorrhaging at that point. You got to stop the bleeding a little bit.
And going back to the Puz Lesney thing, I get it. I'd rather have Miles Jack on the field in that position too, but Miles Jack isn't going to cover Travis Benjamin either. He's not fast enough to cover that guy as fast as Miles Jack is. Would I rather have Miles on that play? Yeah, but if you have a scheme where they can put you in a position where you have a linebacker trying to cover their fastest wide receiver one-on-one, your scheme sucks.
And that's the problem, is you get the feeling that they're being out-schemed, out-diagrammed, out that when they see certain things, they're manipulating the Jaguars. Look, it's not you. the ball's at the 4-yard line in that first touchdown. You can have your run stuffing linebacker in there. It's a run pad. There's no, yeah. You know, it's not like it, it's 3rd and 20 and we know they're going to throw the football here. You've got to come up with a better way to not have your guy who is your, like you said, your slowest linebacker isolated in coverage on their fastest receiver. Moving along, Hunter is in Fernandina and he's now on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Hunter.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Just about three small things I want to touch on, man. I mean, first of all, Olsen, you know, is he confirming with Gus what play call to run, or is he just strictly loving that screen pass? And second, Miles Jack, you know, who do we have, y'all's opinion, who do we have to slide or take out or move to get Miles Jack in the game? We traded up for him for a reason. We traded up to get him for a reason. What that reason is with them not playing, I have no clue. And the third
Okay, go ahead.
The third thing, man, you know, I'm not one to, you know, blame the refs. I think that's just stupid. But, I mean, could you question a handful of those calls that were made in that game? Could you really do that? I mean.
Perhaps, but when you lose that bad.
I don't know.
I mean, last week is galling when you find out that the refs admitted, and that's what we found in the middle of the last week, and it apparently became the big story yesterday, that there was some leaked info that apparently the league told the Jags that they blew 16 calls in Green Bay's favor. 16 in a one-score game. That's galling to me. Yesterday, I don't want to hear anything about the referees and any blown calls. Maybe there were some blown calls. Sure there were. Okay? You got blown out. Doesn't matter.
Nope.
I mean, honestly, that I don't think that had any impact on it. Look, Miles Jack, I'll say this. Yes, you traded up to get him in the second round. There are plenty of guys who you draft in the second round, even first rounders, who don't make an immediate impact. They're not ready for whatever combination or reason. So the fact that he's not on the field very much in the first couple of games isn't the end of the world in the big picture of things. But when you see what's going on in coverage in particular with the linebacker core, and this is supposed to be a strength of Miles Jack, it distresses you that they haven't come up with a way to utilize him that he can help in some small capacity, right? And I'm not saying he has to take over full-time every down for Paul Pizzlesi or Telvin Smith or anybody else, but is there no way to utilize him? I guess that question's above my pay grade. I don't know.
And that goes back to, I don't know how much trust this coaching staff has earned, right? That we have that kind of question with, when you have that kind of talent and you can't figure out some way to use it, it's so frustrating because I shouldn't have to answer that question. They need to have the answer because they moved up in the draft to get him.
Right.
They needed to have a plan for what they wanted to do with Miles Jack, and to this point, it looks like they have none.
But that's the thing. They may have a plan, but I think they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt on anything. If Bill Belichick had traded up to draft a player and didn't utilize him much in the first couple of games, people would say, hey, it's okay. He's got a plan. When it's time, Bill knows what he's doing, and you haven't earned that kind of trust. Certainly, the Jaguars coaching staff has not, and that's understandable based on the results. We got Hags in Orange Park next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Hags.
Hey, guys. Just so disappointing, so frustrating yesterday. You go into that game, you know, their best receiver's out. And, you know, guys, I think you get your touchdowns a little mixed up. The first touchdown, Gordon just waltzed in on a 4-yard run.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And I sat down and I got on ready to watch that game, and they just gash it, run after run after run, with a guy who didn't even have a 100-yard game last year. And, you know, just right off the bat, I knew that was a bad sign. They were never in that game. And, you know, unfortunately, the last 3 years, I did a lot of this, put the game on DVR at halftime, went out with the kids, cleaned the garage. It's just really frustrating.
All right, Hags, thank you. What I was referring to, and it's not that important, was Benjamin's first touchdown because he scored the two. That's what, when I said the first one, I meant the
no, they scored
first
enough
one
touchdowns that it's easy to get him.
But you know the one I'm talking about, right? When they're at the 4-yard line, just ran the crossing route. Whether it was the first one the Jags allowed or not, it was the first one because then he also caught the deep ball touchdown later on in the game. Hags, thank you for the call. Let us get Donald in Orlando up next. Hello, Donald.
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, this is hard. But you know how, I think this is part of my bad karma, man. just send me out. You know how in most relationships, you usually have one person that's more emotionally invested than the other person. I've been told so many times that, well, I ain't gonna say I've been told, but I've told so many people, I'm gonna do better this time. Just give me one more chance. Just hear me out. And I feel like this is what this is my bad karma, because the Jaguars are now doing this to me. Because every year I get all hyped up, and the Jaguars say, you know what, I'm gonna do better this time. I'm gonna do good this year. And I've been, and every single time it's the same letdown. And it's like I've been a season ticket holder since 99, and I just pretty much got rid of my tickets last year. And this year I actually thought about renewing my ticket. And I'm done. I think I'm going to let this relationship go. I'll take your comments out there.
All right. Well, I mean, that's your prerogative, but, you know, well, I'll say this.
I enjoyed that. I very much did.
I get what he's saying, and I get the metaphor and all that, but a lot of fan bases, and I'm not saying you have to you have the right to do whatever you want, particularly as a paying customer, and some people don't like that term, but, you know, if you don't want to buy tickets, that's your prerogative. You know, there have been a lot of franchises in a lot of cities, in a lot of sports, that have suffered a lot of losing for a lot of years. I'm not saying that's something you should accept, and if you don't want to, but sometimes that's being part of a sports fan to say, hey, you're done. I mean, look, maybe you're talking out of emotion. I'd hate to see anybody give up on being a fan of the team and the franchise. I think, in fact, Tony, the fact that so many people are distressed and enough to, you know, sound off on social media, call in, shows me they're not giving up on the franchise. They're just not accepting what the franchise is giving them right now. That you know, they're angry. They're disappointed. They're all these different things. But I'm going to take the feedback as the evidence that there's a lot of passion. And nobody, you know, nobody wants to give up. People root for that Jaguar on the side of the helmet. People root for those guys in the uniform. But they want to have some success, and they don't want to have, you know, what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's what they say. And I think that's what people feel like the Jags are stuck in right now. 12-38 for Gus Bradley, the worst modern coaching record for a coach who's coached 50 games. Burt Bell back in like the 1940s with the Philadelphia Eagles had a 179 winning percentage. He was the owner of the team. He only could fire himself. So he didn't risk losing his job, put it that way, if he had a bad year, wanted to keep it. Gus Bradley, a 24% winning percentage among modern coaches, the worst of anyone who's ever coached 50 games in the National Football League. We got to take a timeout here. We'll come back. More of your feedback on the other side at 641-1010. We'll get to the text line driven by Duval Ford as well. Question today is, well, there's no question. You just tell us what's on your mind. I think we kind of know, but share your thoughts with us here on 1010XL at 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I think you got to put that on me. You know, when the team comes up and they don't have the rhythm that they need to be, you know, offensively and defensively, as a head coach too, I've got to take a lot of responsibility in that. You can't just show up and play well. There's a lot of things that go into it, and we'll learn from those things.
Guess what? They're taking you up on it. They are putting on you, Gus, over the last less than 24 hours, however long it's been since that game ended yesterday, Tony. And then as I don't know if anybody else felt this way as I watched Sunday Night Football, and I know Minnesota's supposed to be a good defense, right? But they really shut down Green Bay pretty effectively last night. And you're thinking, well, you know, we hung with Green Bay, and yeah, they scored 27, but we held Rodgers to 199 passing and all these things. It's 2 weeks in a row Green Bay's offense hasn't exactly looked like a world beater.
No.
So that maybe skews your perception, if you allow it to, of your performance in week one.
Yeah, and I saw Michael David Smith, who's actually the one who put out the statistic with Gus Bradley being 12-38 and 50 games coached and how bad that is historically. 169 out of 170 coaches that have coached 50 games, with Burt Bell being the only one worse in the history of the NFL. He also wrote on Pro Football Talk this morning, his lead basically for his thoughts from Sunday's games were what's going on with Gus Bradley and the Jags, and when is this rebuild actually going to start in Jacksonville? And the second note was something is wrong with Aaron Rodgers. So it's I do think if you watch that game last night with Green Bay, that's not the same kind of offense that we've seen from Green Bay. And everyone thought it would be back to 2 years ago when Jordan Nelson came in, but you got two games of evidence now that it's just not.
Right, but is it – I don't know if it's something particularly wrong with Rodgers, or is he out of sync with Jordan Nelson?
I don't know.
Or what it is?
And the article was interesting because it basically went into – Rodgers is a guy that in his career has averaged basically 8.5 yards an attempt.
An attempt.
And this year he's like 5.7.
Well, I think the big part of that is, you know, why did he have such a high yards per attempt? Jordan Nelson, once or twice a game,
yep,
would seemingly get wide open behind the secondary, and he'd hit him for a big play. Now, I know that's a bit of an exaggeration, but not too much. And, you know, Nelson, he did catch a semi-deep ball last night, contested catch, but, you know, it certainly hasn't exactly opened up. They're having trouble running the ball as well. Anyway, that's their problem. We move on back to the phone line, 641-1010. Eric on the north side, next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Eric. Eric. Tyler, we got Eric?
Eric is not answering the phone, so let's move on.
All right, how about Pat in Fleming Island? Pat, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Actually, it's Matt in Fleming Island.
Okay, hi, Matt.
Yep. Hey, thanks for the opportunity to speak with you. I'm 40 years old, born and raised in Jacksonville. I lived the quest of the dream to get this team. So I'm gonna channel my inner Gus Bradley, and I'm gonna take the positive spin. And you had started to allude to it a little bit, the historical significance that is right in grasp. I mean, since the dawn of the Super Bowl, Gus Bradley has an opportunity in two more games to get to 40 losses, 40 out of 52 attempts. He's got the history books right here in grasp. So I say, let's go get it. I mean, if I can't resist the Gus bus, I'm going to get on it and look in the mirror, and I'm going to learn from all of these losses. And I want to see history get made. That's all I got. Let's go for it.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Sarcasm meter is dinging right now.
Chase down Burt Bell.
Ding, 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 ding. I get you. I see where you're coming from. Will is downtown, and he's next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Will. Hey, Will.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Yes, real quick. I haven't heard too many people comment on this. I don't really understand how we have our best player is Allen Robinson, hands down. And it seems like we don't get him in the game soon enough. It's almost like 15 to 20 minutes before he even sees his first target. And you hear the coaches always say they want to establish the run game, or establish a run game. But we don't have Chris Ivory. And that's the guy who we brought in to fix the run game. So we've already spent the entire last season trying to establish the run game. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't think you can establish a run game with just T.J. Yeldon. I mean, I love the guy. I think he works great in a two-back scheme. But without that power back, You really, in my opinion, you waste too much time trying to establish it. We need to get Allen Robinson, our lone Pro Bowler, into the game sooner, and Julius Thomas. I mean, I just want to know what you guys think about that.
Sure. A couple of things. One, for me, I didn't expect a big game out of Allen Robinson. Jason Verrett, as Greg Olsen said, probably covered him better than any corner in the league last year. And if you watch that game closely, this guy is really, really good. You know, did they try to establish the run too much early? T.J. Yeldon only carried the ball 7 times the entire game. Now, they didn't have much of a rhythm to establish anything. They got the false start from Julius Thomas on the very first drive, put him in a hole. They go 3 and out, and it just got worse from there for the most part. So, look, I think you want to try to be a little bit balanced in the National Football League. I get that. And if just because they lose Chris Ivory, I don't think you can sit there and say, Tony, you know, this team's good enough, we can be one-dimensional, and we're going to forget even trying to run. But again, Blake threw it 50 times yesterday. Yeah. T.J. Yeldon had 7 carries. I don't think it was too imbalanced towards T.J. Yeldon yesterday. That's my opinion.
No, I don't know about imbalanced, but I think if you watch the first couple weeks when we're talking about keys to the game against Green Bay and San Diego, it was about being able to establish the run. And I think for this football team, they're not good enough with what they have in the backfield or on the offensive line right now to show up and say, all right, if we want to establish the run, the way we're going to do it is we're going to hand it to T.J. Yeldon early. That's not how they can establish it. The way this team is going to establish the run, if it's going to happen, just with the pieces they have right now, is you throw the ball to the guys you know work. You throw it to Robinson, you throw it to Hearns, you throw it to Julius Thomas, and you make sure that teams can't put eight in the box against you when you want to run, and that's how you establish it. And I haven't seen that through the first 2 weeks. And I'm not saying that they were too committed to T.J. Yeldon yesterday. They weren't. They got behind so big so early that they couldn't run the ball in that football game. But I think when they came out, it looked like they wanted to establish T.J. Yeldon before they established Bortles and what they could do in that passing game. And I think that's backwards just with the pieces they have on that team right now.
I think the problem, honestly, right now is both lines of scrimmage. Okay,
they're getting killed.
They're getting pushed around on both sides of the football. You're not going to establish much of anything if you're getting killed on the line of scrimmage offensively. Yeah, there was a lot of yardage, and we documented that. Meaningless yardage, a lot of it. Defensively was even more glaring to me. This team should handle power backs, and Melvin Gordon's much more of a power back than Danny Woodhead is. Woodhead was the guy that scared me because the Jags, going back to last year, have had problems. You look at the preseason, backs catching the ball out of the backfield. I thought Woodhead would be a major factor. He goes out, and you're thinking, wow, that's a big weapon out of the arsenal for Phillip Rivers. It just simply didn't matter. They just got pushed off the ball. Go back to that 3rd and 3. I brought it up several times in the postgame. They're inside the 10-yard line. Tony, they've got the defensive tackle split 10 feet apart. There's no one in the middle. There's a linebacker that snug up. I don't know if it was Paul or not. I can't remember. And they quickly backed out of there, and the hole was so gaping. You never see a split like that on the defensive line. And Phillip Rivers just saw that turnaround, handed to Melvin Gordon. It was an easy conversion right there inside the 10-yard line. So line of scrimmage, if you can't win on the line of scrimmage, you can't win football games, period, no matter how good your skill position guys
are. No, and look, they haven't gotten Allen Robinson going in the first half of either of their first two games.
No.
And that cannot happen going forward.
No, they right. It reach a point you might have to try to force him a few, but
or run the screen to him.
Or you know what? If he's being taken out, like you said, Hearns, Julius Thomas, look, I don't have a problem going to Marquise Lee on the crossing route. Just hit him in stride. Don't throw it behind him second week in a row. You know, I mean, that's the thing. And that's where the mechanics you're talking about come into play. If your accuracy is off on that kind of a pass, you throw it over the middle, a great chance you're going to get a tip ball. And once again, they do, and they get an interception off of it. So, look, this is one of many. Go down the checklist from yesterday. Coming back this date in football, the Honda Drive around the NFL, and we open it back up to your calls in a moment as well. At 641-1010, we'll check in on the text line driven by Duval Ford. It's a Monday brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold here in Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, here's what happened on this date in football history. September 19th, going back to 1993. Hey, former Jaguar, but at the time, a San Diego Charger. Ouch. John Carney, he knocked in 6 field goals in an 18-17 win over the Houston Oilers. It was the second time he had accomplished that feat in 3 weeks with 6 field goals, and at the time set a new NFL record with 29 consecutive field goals made. Famous birthdays for this date include Larry Brown, NFL running back. I never heard of Larry Brown before, but he was the 3rd player to ever garner over 4,000 yards rushing. He ended with 5,875. 4-time Pro Bowler, 2-time first-team All-Pro, and the 1972 NFL MVP for the Washington Redskins. So the more you know. And then also on this date, the most famous window faller outer of Robert Condici. How old's Robert Condici, Tony?
Robert Condici is 20.
He's 22. Exactly right. He's 22. Born in 1994. That's all I got for you. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
There are too many injuries from yesterday to get into, but we'll get into some of the highlights of them. Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson left their win over Green Bay last night in the second half with an apparent knee injury. The tests trainers were giving him on the sideline before he limped into the locker room are consistent with the tests that they give players who have suffered ACL injuries, leaving many people speculating about the severity of that injury last night. Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer said after the game, quote, "He might miss a week. I don't know if he will or not. Whatever it was has calmed down, so now we'll see. AP will be undergoing an MRI today to determine the severity of that injury, but it looks like the worst, at least they're out of the woods on that." New England Patriots quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo left the game in the second quarter yesterday after a big hit. The Patriots didn't say anything about his status after the game. Big shock. But several sources are reporting that Garoppolo suffered a sprained AC joint in his throwing shoulder. and is day-to-day with the injury. New England plays host to 2-0 Houston on Thursday Night Football. Rookie Jacoby Brissett would get the start if Garoppolo can't go. The Patriots are expected to announce the status of Garoppolo today.
Isn't that just perfect? I mean, that, as they say, the most Jaguar thing ever. Oh, great. The Houston Texans. Yeah. Who do you get? Jacoby Brissett at quarterback.
That kind of sucks. And Denver Broncos pass rusher DeMarcus Ware suffered a fractured right forearm, and the Broncos went over the Colts on Sunday. The team will determine today if Ware will need surgery on the arm, which could cause him to miss an extended amount of time in 2016.
I'd like to thank his teammates for helping put me in position to pick up a lot of wins this week in fantasy. Denver defense was on fire yesterday. Had this forwarded to me by somebody you know well, Tony. I'm not going to mention names, but why was Malik Jackson benched is the question. We haven't even talked about that. We mentioned that in the post game yesterday. They came out in the second half, and Sheldon Day was playing. Not even Cedric Marks. Sheldon Day was playing in his place. My guess is, Tony, he was benched for lack of performance.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look, again, it's tough for me. As much as I watch football, and we all do, when we're watching a game broadcast, to isolate which one guy. Sometimes you see it on the replay. You see a guy get blown up or whatever. But when Melvin Gordon is running it down your throat, and, you know, to the tune of a little over 4 yards a carry, but it just seemed worse than that, right? It seemed like they could do whatever they wanted to do offensively. We always say, hey, somebody's got to be held accountable. I think that was their way of holding Malik Jackson accountable, is my guess, unless there was some, you know, up to this point, undisclosed injury that I'm unaware of. And so I'm going to speculate that that's the case until I hear differently. And Gus Bradley would do a conference call this afternoon. I would imagine that subject would probably come up.
I would hope it would. With the reporters asking questions to Gus Bradley, I think it's difficult to look. I can't get inside his head. He didn't talk about it after the game yesterday, so I don't know. But Malik Jackson's a guy who, obviously, I don't know how well he played week one. When we talked to Logan, he said he played fine week one. I don't know how good or bad he was in the first half of that game. We talked throughout the offseason. They got enough depth now that if guys aren't getting the job done, they can put other guys in. I don't know how – it's a terrible sign for this football team if they feel like Malik Jackson's the guy that they need to single out after a game and a half of football here in a Jaguars uniform. That is a really, really bad sign for this team going forward.
We'll get John Osher here in a moment. Let's get another call on the line here. Roosevelt on the south side next up at 641-1010. Good morning, Roosevelt.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm going to jump on this real quick. First of all, the Malik Jackson thing, I'm a Denver Broncos fan. We're coming to crush you guys. Second of all, if you think Malik Jackson is good, as they say in the hood, you is a lie. The guy
Roseville, I apologize. I know you're making some Malik Jackson points. I couldn't come through there. Your phone connection was bad. You're welcome to call back and try to restate those points. John Osher, Jaguars.com, senior writer, here with us now in the Jaguars Today, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio. Good morning, John.
Yeah, I'm here whether I like it or not, right?
Well,
welcome to the whirlwind.
Look, let's be honest. All of us here, we want them to win. You know, and all that stuff, but the fans out there, the ones, you know what I mean, like, don't feel sorry for John or me or Tony. No, none of us, you know, people were saying last night on Twitter, oh, poor Mike and Tony. Not poor us. I mean, look, we want the team to succeed as well, but don't feel bad for us. We're fortunate to be able to work and cover the National Football League. So it's not a question of personal inconvenience.
I got a lot of the same thing. Every time they lose like that, you know, I joke about the inbox. My predecessor, Vic Ketchman, joked about the inbox. So I get a lot of, oh, I'm sorry for you. So look, I felt bad for the fans yesterday. I really did. And I don't say it very often, but I think the team and the players did too. That when you talk all off season and when you talk about improvement and you see legitimate signs of it the week before and you see things that you think are going to play out on the field and then they don't, that's tough. So, I mean, I get why fans were mad yesterday. I wish I had something to tell
right.
them.
It's an almost indefensible performance.
Sure.
You know, and there's certainly a play here or a handful of guys here, all that, but today's not the day to really focus on that. It's really been more about letting the fans speak their piece on this. Let me ask you something we were just talking about, and one of the many things we could spend an hour on if we wanted to. Malik Jackson not on the field to start the second half. Sheldon Day is in for the Jaguars. Maybe you know more than we do, but just based on anything we've heard, it just seems like basically he got benched, right, to start the second half.
I would assume so.
That's our assumption.
again, I always say it's tough when you're writing in the press box to see every detail of that. It's sometimes difficult because you miss it and you just do. I rewatched it this morning. Saw that was the case. Don't know why. I mean,
yeah, and I'm going on the broadcast. You know, Tony and Jeff noticed it, pointed it out,
right?
And as far as you know, we listened to the whole game broadcast. There was nothing to indicate that Malik was hurt at any point, right, or anything like that. So again, that's just one of many things we're pointing to this morning.
Yeah, and you know, I tried to rewatch the game this morning. Watched the condensed replay, which is when it's going through very quickly. So many things that when it goes that bad, that early, and I guess the wheels come off, it becomes really hard to pinpoint any one thing because all the if-then scenarios kind of go out the window, if that makes any sense.
Right.
So, I mean, it's yeah.
There are no great answers today.
I was driving in here, and I said, okay, we need to say something definitive, you know, need to have good radio. I don't know if this is a day you can really even have good radio because it's hard to pinpoint and make clear thoughts because it was so bad.
You said yesterday in the pregame, you said during the week.
I said, yeah.
The most important game of the Gus Bradley era. Right?
Well, and not only that, it's not that I'm not used to making a fool out of myself. I do that quite often. But I thought they were going to win. I thought they were going to play well.
Who did? Yeah, right.
Right. So
nobody thought that, even if you thought they were going to lose, you wouldn't think it would come in that fashion.
It came from a feeling of watching the team for 3 or 4 years, and not that they were going to play well that day and light the world on fire and have this unbelievable performance. I just thought, as several players said, thought they were past that sort of performance. I felt like bare minimum you were going to go out there and see a professional level football team, which again, I think this team is and will be, but it sure wasn't on Sunday.
Yeah, I should mention, and I haven't at this point yet, so I'll do it now, that we do have a pair of tickets to give away today. Maybe not the the best timing on that for the Ravens game coming up this weekend.
I was going to say the Jaguars?
Yeah. Jags-Ravens. Sure, okay. That's who the tickets are for this weekend. So if you'd like to get those tickets, be listening a little bit later on in the
show. You know who might like those tickets is Ryan O'Halloran.
You think so?
I bet he would.
You think he would? I think he has his own credentials, so he'll be fine on that score. Each winner this year, by the way, every time we give away tickets, will be eligible for a dinner with Senderic Marks at Three Forks, eligible to win a dinner at with Senderic Marks at Three Forks, and a set of Jaguar-themed rings, all courtesy of Global Diamond. So you'll go in the drawing
for that
as well.
I'd like to have dinner with Sen.
That'd be nice.
Like,
right?
Can I get in it without winning or no?
I don't think you're eligible. I think employees of 1010XL and the Jaguars are probably not eligible to win this
one. I have lunch every now and then with Sen. Maybe I'll just...
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's, you know, just walk upstairs at the right time of day. You can have lunch with Sen anytime you like. All right, let's get another call in here before we take a timeout here, and that would be Jeremy on the south side. Hello, Jeremy. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I was just a couple things here. I was looking at the coverage that we play, and it seems like we don't really give our pass rushers much time to get to the quarterback. Like, we don't disrupt the receivers at the line, and somehow we have Puzz on their fastest receiver. I don't get that, but seems like we never blitz. I just don't feel like we play really basic coverage here.
Okay. I mean, you know, I'm not the expert of what coverage you're playing in any given time, but, you know, I think what he's talking about, I guess, is zone, because if you want to disrupt the guys at the line, you're usually some kind of press man type situation, which is what I think the Jags would prefer to play sometimes. But, you know, I don't know how much Prince Amukamara being out impacted any of that game plan, but John, I've said it going into that. That's no excuse. They lost the best receiver. You lost one of your better cornerbacks. That's a fair trade at worst.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, and again, a lot of things we talk about on Mondays are tough because you try to break it down and you try to give some sort of reason something happened, and then it sounds like, well, that's an excuse. It's not an excuse for how they play. There's no question Amukamara being out, and in the long term, this secondary is better with Colvin and Amukamara on the field, without question. But the coverage yesterday was clearly, in many situations, not good enough. And whatever scheme has either Paul Posluszny, Miles Jack, Telvin Smith, Lawrence Taylor covering the slot receiver or a receiver that fast doesn't work.
Well, here's one, FBT Jacks. People know FBT, certainly from Jaguars message board fame. Says talking about Bob Babich's role in defending the Jags. Could his knowledge of Blake and his strengths and weaknesses have contributed? He says, not making an excuse. It was a complete team, you know, suck fest, as he put it. But it certainly like could have contributed to it. There's no question about it.
Sure. I mean, I never... That stuff matters and it doesn't hurt, but there is so much film available on teams,
right,
that teams know your weaknesses and your tendencies. And but certainly,
put it this way,
having a voice in the building who can guide you in the right direction during as you're watching it, sure, that helps.
I don't think Bob Babich induced Blake Bortles to throw behind Marquise Lee or to throw into coverage.
Well, if he did, he's good.
Mental Jedi mind trick.
I wish he'd been doing that here for 4 years.
But I get the question. It certainly could have been a contributing factor among many.
Knowledge and, I guess, quickness and preparation, which that would be, because he can sit there and say, okay, let's look for this. Yeah, that helps. Had Bob Babich been on the Jaguars staff, I don't know that the game yesterday is that much different.
Oh, I'm not saying, right. But, I mean,
no,
if a coach has worked, you know, his defense against your offense for the last several years,
right,
it could be some things that certainly he picked, hey, let's put him in this kind of situation. This is where, you know, among his weaknesses, this is where we want him to be.
Yeah, I think beyond Babich knowing Blake, I think Blake, you know, having maybe his worst game that I've seen in the first half, hurt a lot more than Bob. Yeah.
I agree.
So,
all right, we got to take a timeout here. We'll come back. More of your calls on the other side, 641-1010. John Osier's in studio with us. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osier.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
You have to keep your poise, you know. You have to keep your poise in a game like that. And it's challenging. You know, it didn't turn out the way we had it pictured, the way we visualized it, the way we put it together. And when it doesn't do that, then how do you react? And in those situations, you have to keep your poise. And, you know, that's the challenge. He's an emotional player.
That was Gus Bradley talking about Jared Odrick yesterday in the outburst. Quite frankly, I was shocked he didn't get tossed from the game because he had already had the unsportsmanlike, then went over and slammed the helmet down on the sideline.
Yeah, I guess he was smart to do it off the field.
Right.
Saved him. And
but as he was going off the field, took his helmet off while he was still on the field, too.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm watching it from the booth, I thought he had probably been tossed.
Right.
You know, it's hard to process it that quickly.
Regardless of whether he was or not.
Sure.
Was he offsides or not offsides? Doesn't matter. You can't – and I get it's frustration boiling up, but you're one of the more veteran guys with a lot of young guys around you. You know, last week I was killing Aaron Donald on Monday Night Football, doing the same thing. One of the most talented players in the league.
Right.
Well more talented than most defensive linemen. And totally lost his cool.
Yeah, can't do it. Right.
Got tossed from the game. Well, you know what they did? They came back this week, and they gave you a hell of a defensive performance. The Rams did.
Yeah, I missed that, obviously.
Yeah, 9-3. I mean, ugly, but it's beautiful, right? Wouldn't you take a 9-3 win right now?
I would take it over 38-14.
Of course you would, right? I mean, that's a silly question. Yeah, of course you would. But, I mean, that's what they're going to need to do. They're going to need to show that kind of resolve, John, and turn this thing around. I quite frankly, you know, at this point, everyone's got to be in prove-it-to-me mode. You know, we sat here, hey, you know what? We gave you the benefit of the doubt against Green Bay, and you played well, okay, for the most part. It was an NFL game where you went toe-to-toe. You weren't you didn't not belong on the field with them. You didn't belong on the field with San Diego yesterday.
Yeah, and again, you know, broken record time, but it was so much that went wrong from quarterback to having Posluszny covering a wide receiver. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint everything. You can sit here. As I watched the first half, I was thinking, well, offensively in the first half, it looked a couple of times like they almost got something going, and then defensively. But then, you know, 35-0 going into the fourth quarter, I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, I saw this was good.
Right.
It was bad. It was terrible.
Right.
It was
rarely do you lose by 24 and say that it wasn't that close.
Right.
Yeah, and that was
the
case yesterday.
And I think we were talking as we ended the break or after it. There was that little point, and Pozlesny was mentioning this in the locker room afterward, where they had allowed a sort of the defense on skates drive at the beginning of the game where they just ran down.
Push it right down their throat.
And that sort of, I think, shocked him, because if you're going to be a defense that prides itself on stopping the run, which these guys are, you can't have an initial series like that. But then they sort of got it together, and they got, I don't know if it was a three and out, but they got him off the field on the next drive.
Yep.
And Pozlesny said it felt like they were getting it back. You know, it was going. And then you had the pick and the short field, and then it just went haywire. And that's, I think it's the it just went haywire part that they thought they were past. I think that's what's the most disappointing.
And I think haywire carried over to a bunch of aspects. We were talking about the Jared Odrick thing a moment ago. It's not the first time we've seen Odrick blow up on the field. He did it his first year here in Jacksonville, too, after a field goal. Every now and then he does that kind of thing. I think, though, look, we don't believe everything that we're told about what happens on sidelines, but I think you can feel it coming out of that locker room with some of the stuff that I know O'Halloran and different people were tweeting about the way players were interacting with media yesterday. It felt like it's the first time that you can feel some of the cracks in that locker room showing through a little bit, where with everything that's gone on in Jacksonville through the first 3-plus years of Gus Bradley, he's always had that locker room. And I think yesterday was the first time that you could feel it slip a little bit for him, just with the way players were reacting to that kind of loss.
It felt very tense, very emotional, and it's got to get under control this week, and it's got to be channeled correctly.
All right, Wild West Guns Go Monday continues here. John Osher, Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey here with you on Jaguars Today. Let's go back to the phone line, 641-1010, and welcome Mike calling in from Texas this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. Miles freaking Jack, why is it that he is not in that game until it is way out of reach? And when he does come in, he immediately makes plays. I'm tired of these freaking excuses of, well, he's still learning the defense. You know what? The best way he's going to learn is to get out there and play. He's one of the. He was drafted to be one of our top defensive players. He needs to be on the freaking field.
All right. Hey, thanks. Appreciate the call, Mike. I think your sentiment is expressed by many, or held by many Jaguar fans. Hayes Pollard was in the game before him, John.
Yeah, and I saw that. That was confusing.
It's head scratching. I mean, just, you know.
I mean, if you're going to play Dan Skuda and Pozlesny at the same time, it's awfully tough to cover speed with that combination. I don't know what you do to get that not on the field in passing situations, but that's a tough ask in passing situations for this defense.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I don't know where you get Miles on the field, but it certainly feels like that challenge has to be met, to use a little coaching speak.
All right, 641-1010. Let's go to Theo in Arlington next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, I want to give my thoughts and prayers to Kelvin Bishop. I hope he's okay. I hope it's nothing serious. Number two, these next 2 weeks are very, very critical. We cannot go into the bye week 0-4. I think it's going to determine our season. And number three, why did Odrick get ejected? I missed that part. With that being said, I'm going to take it off the air. I love the show, and y'all have a good day.
All right, thanks. He did not get ejected. He got 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct for arguing an offsides call.
And the reaction got him a 15-yard unsportsmanlike. And then the referee announced that one more.
Right, which is now their common practice.
Yeah, that's protocol, I guess.
Right, two unsportsmanlikes get you tossed now. And so they always, when you get one, they say one more foul of that nature will result in ejection.
And he mentioned the next 2 weeks being key. Yeah, I mean, I thought Sunday's game was critically important for all of these, I hate to use the word statement, but prove it, show where you are kind of reasons.
Justify the faith that the fans have put in you. They have
And justify the faith that you said you had in yourself after the first one.
All of it.
Right.
I mean, you said – different people have taken it different ways over the first few years. Some people say, hey, forget year one. Some people say, hey, forget year one and two, whatever. It's year four now.
Sure.
And you spent – most of your free agent targets. Would Olivier Vernon have made a difference yesterday? Not 24 points worth of difference, right? He's the only guy you missed on.
Sure.
So you got who you wanted. You couldn't have had the draft land in your lap any better than it did. You have everything you want, and, you know, you expect better at this point in time. Those kind of performances – again, it would have been – bitterly disappointing to lose 35-34 yesterday or 21-20 or whatever close margin.
But it wouldn't have been as foundation shaking.
No.
And that felt foundation shaking, and that's why this week's so key. We've all seen things go in different ways. Bad losses early, teams can galvanize, and it can be used as a launching point. And that needs to happen because if it goes the other way, it's bad.
Let's get Mike.
Guess what?
It is. Right. I got you. Mike is on the south side, next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mike. Hello, Mike. All right, let's try Dell, also on the south side. Good morning, Dell.
Morning, fellas. How you doing?
What's up?
My point, and again, I've not heard much said about this yet, but in my opinion, it's just a very poorly coached team that was ill-prepared to play yesterday. Bottom line, you can make all the excuses you want. What I saw was a team that just wasn't ready to play.
I don't know. If you haven't heard that, I don't know what you've listened to all morning.
Just tuned in. Just got off the plane. Sorry.
You wouldn't have heard it if you just tuned in. But, no, you're all right. I understand. Thank you, Dell. I appreciate it. It is. You got it. Look.
Undisciplined. Badly coached,
out-schemed. I mean, all these things are right. These things, you didn't have your team ready to play. Now, does some of that fall on the players? Sure, it does. You got to have some personal responsibility, but ultimately, where's the buck stop? Buck stops with the head coach, right? And who's responsible? Is he calling every play on each side? No, but he's responsible for putting the guys in position and approving the game plans and all these things.
Well, and he said that after the game.
I'm not disputing that, but we're not running from that fact either is the point. When you call in and say, I haven't heard that much, and then you just say, I just tuned in. Well, I mean, we've been talking about that on this station since the game ended last night pretty much. So and we understand. And
that had to have been fun for you after the game.
It's what are you going to do, John? It's not like we're going to go run and dig a hole and jump in it and cry. I mean, I understand the sentiment of the fans.
I usually gauge the dissatisfaction, the anger, whatever. I probably had 30 or 40% more emails than usual last night after the game. By the time I got off the plane, I almost didn't believe what my little Outlook app said on my phone in terms of number of mail. You know how you get that little number of mail?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
I got some work ahead of me.
Unlike Tony, Tony likes to look at Twitter during the game.
Oh, I'm on there.
Win or lose, I avoid Twitter. I'm trying to take notes. I'm doing whatever. And not Tony's certainly paying attention to it. He does his thing, and I stay away from it. And then I get the joy of having it all dumped at one point in time.
There's not many weeks where I don't have time to read all post-game emails. I didn't even have close to – I mean, and a part of it was the ride. But I'm not even remotely – you know, I guess I'm saying if I didn't answer your question, it wasn't due to a lack of effort.
Right. There's a lot. You're buried under an avalanche of them. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers, sporting arms, everything in between, semi-auto pistols, rifles, shotguns. If you're a sports enthusiast, Wild West Guns and Gold can meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America, guaranteed. Trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Visit Guns for Jax. It's Guns, the number 4, JAX.com, or visit our friends on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville, 693-0700. 77 is the number for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor, Jaguars Today. Still have a pair of tickets to Jags Ravens to give away, and we'll tell you more about that coming up on the other side, and take a few more of your calls and get to some of the fan feedback on social media as well today. 641-1010, the number. I think you know it well by now. With John Osier and Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey, live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars are back in a familiar position after losing 38-14 to the San Diego Chargers on Sunday. They're 0-2 again. On the injury front, Jaguars left tackle Kelvin Beachum was strapped to a backboard, carted off the field, and transported to a local hospital after he was injured in the third quarter. Now, all tests did come back negative, and he was kept overnight for observation. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
I don't know if you're defined by one game. I think the big thing is, you know, really let's see how we respond from this. And, I just have a lot of faith in the character of our coaches, of this team. And we'll be back. We'll be back. We got stung. We got punched in the mouth today. And there's some valuable lessons that we can learn from this game and from this opportunity.
I think the problem I have with that quote is, I mean, Gus says, we'll be back. They've never been anywhere to be back to.
Yeah, I kind of thought that when he said
it. We'll be back to what? Yeah. Winning four games on average for the last 3 years? I mean, what standard are you trying to return to? Because you've never had a winning one here. I'm not saying that they're not trying to create a standard, but you're back to what exactly?
Well, I know knowing him, what he meant was back to where it's not that. But, yeah, I get your point. I
mean, right.
It's so tough because they have to say something in the post game, and it's all sort of lobbed up there for people to pick apart. I get it. But I also get why people are tired of hearing it.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I got three on the
line.
Me,
it's fine.
We'll give you each about 30 seconds to speak your piece, and I want to clear the phone lines because we still have a ticket giveaway to do. So please wait until you hear a cue to call coming up later on. As we reach towards noon. But let's start with D in Mandarin at 641-1010. Good morning, D.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'll be real quick. You gave me 30 seconds. The Jaguars ask us as a fan base to support the team, so we've done that. We've got four club seats. We're about $3,000 per ticket, so it's about $12,000 a year. Since the Gus Bradley regime has taken over, it's cost us $48,000. We've won 12 games. So going by law of averages, we've had six home victories. So as it stands right now in the Gus Bradley regime, it's costing us $8,000 to go to the stadium and watch the Jaguars win one football game. That's all I got, guys. I'll take it off the air.
Thank you, D. I appreciate it. I don't know if I need to add anything to that. It's a frustrated fan. Let's go to Matt on the west side next. Hello, Matt.
Hello, guys.
What's up?
Quick question for you. Arnold Robinson, why are we waiting so long to get the ball to him? Shouldn't we be starting off in the first quarter trying to throw the ball to him? And then another thing, was it me or was Paul Pudge-Lesney beat on that play, that 44-yard play?
I thought he was. The Tyrell Williams play?
Yes.
It appeared like he was chasing him across the field. We'll get a better picture of that when we talk to Jeff Loggeman tomorrow after breaking down the All-22. But that's what it appeared to me, not nearly as astute a film watcher as Loggeman is.
Talking about the one down the right side?
Talking about the one, yeah, where Tyrell Williams came all the way across the field, and then he cut it up the right sideline and just kept going, and House couldn't get him out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes hard because when you're talking to players in the locker room about certain plays, you're not sure if you're asking about the
same that play that they're
thinking. But there was certainly one where he was trailing.
That was Benjamin.
The one, okay. The one close to the goal line, he was trailing Benjamin.
There was
the other one on Williams,
and
we also heard some talk that maybe people in the locker room, maybe O'Halloran tweeted out that somebody said, hey, don't blame Paul for that.
Scooter said that.
Was it Scooter who said that? Okay.
Right, so yeah, he was.
Maybe somebody else's responsibility.
Cases where he was assigned to be on a wide receiver. And I don't think that works no matter who the linebacker
is. No. And whether he's assigned or not, or whether Wisenhunt is saying, I got this. If we put this formation in here, I can force him to cover this guy based on what we've seen on film. that's good coaching.
Sure.
And I think the Williams play, if you looked at it from the overhead view that they showed on there, it looked like the Jags were running the cover three that they usually run, and Devon House played man. And I don't know why he played man, but Devon House chased his guy back towards the middle of the field, and it opened up that right side. There was nobody on that deep third on the right side. Now, should Paul have been in better position to defend the pass? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, he wasn't in great position to defend Tyrell Williams underneath anyway, but he shouldn't have to chase him all the way down the field. Somebody else should be on that side.
All right, last call for the morning, for our show at least. Wes in Orange Park, you're up next. Go ahead, Wes.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to chime in and say real quick, you know, I've been in Jacksonville since 09. I'm a Pittsburgh guy. I'm from Pittsburgh. You know, the Steelers are in my blood. But, you know, I've been here and I've been trying to find ways to really root for the Jags. I watched the Steelers game yesterday. 4 o'clock comes around. I'm in Orange Park at my house. My wife's from Jacksonville. I'm like, okay, let's watch these Jags. Because I came to the Green Bay game here in Jacksonville. I was at the stadium. Awesome game. I thought it was great. Much improved team, I thought. But, man, after yesterday's performance, I feel just as frustrated as some of the season ticket holders. I mean, we know that Mike Tomlin's not having a press conference talking about a much improved, this is what we see, this is what we like. Yeah, I saw this in practice. You know, I mean, you just got to – I think the Jags just have to – man, people need to be held accountable.
All right. Hey, Wes, thank you for the call. Yeah, sure. Everyone should be held accountable, ultimately, and I think they've been given a lot of leeway in that department over the last three-plus seasons. Right now, I think we have some open phone lines, so let's do it right now. We've got a pair of tickets, if you'd like them, to the Jags-Ravens coming up this week. And with that, I'm sure somebody would like them. At least I would think that somebody would like those tickets. With every winner we have this year with these ticket giveaways, you'll be eligible for a chance to win a dinner with Sindarik Marks at Three Forks and a set of Jaguar-themed rings, all courtesy of Global Diamonds. Let me just say this. We'll take caller three at 641-1010. If you're going to text me and say, hey, I want those tickets, I also work at Three Forks, and if I don't get them, we're going to poison your food. You're probably not going to win the tickets. All
you
right?
Get that?
You know, so first of all, I don't believe you work there, but even if you do, I'll pass your phone number along to the people who work at Three Forks and let them know that you're threatening to poison their customers. All
like
right,
that.
So think about that before you text, because we see the number on this end. We know who you are.
We're throwing down here.
Okay,
I'm just throwing it
out there.
You've had enough.
Put it that way. That's nowhere near the worst thing I've seen on the text line this morning. I get outrage and disappointment and fire the coach and, you know, get rid of the players and what a joke and I'm burning my season tickets. All that's your prerogative. That's all within, you know, the sphere of being a fan of a sports team.
Sure.
Fine. You know, there's certain points just don't go beyond. All right. Tony, can you give us a representative sampling of what we got on Twitter today? I know we got an incredible volume of feedback.
I think
today
it would just be screaming obscenities if it was a representative sample. But from DC Kyle, Gus needs to be fired today, not tomorrow, not end of year, today. Won't be successful until then. From Nick, no more bubble screens to Yeldon. From Amish Jaguar, how can anyone defend this crap anymore? Somebody has to be held accountable for this. I don't care who. From Duval Doom, this coaching staff needs to go. I was wrong. The Fire Guts people were right. This is atrocious. From Johnny, Dave said the defense will take time. The biggest concern for me is Bortles. The offense stinks right now. From Aussie Jags, stop the damn bubble screen passes. Stop the damn run. Stop the penalties. From Jeff, another lost season under Khan and company. Gus should have been fired last year, and they blew it. From Derek, maybe this is the most representative one. It's just hashtag fire Gus about eight times from there. So, yeah, it's a lot of anger. We had it on the postgame show yesterday, too. 8 out of 10 callers, without being prompted, included in their call that Gus Bradley needs to be fired. And
pretty much the first thing out of their mouth.
Yeah, that's the way the fan base feels today, and I can understand why.
I can as well. I'll just give you a quick sampling from Facebook. I won't read everyone's name, just so I can give you the sentiment. Let's see. Can someone please address the officiating? Not when you lose in that fashion. I don't care how many. They didn't blow enough calls yesterday to cost you that game yesterday. The first week, that's a different story. Moving on. Didn't see that coming at all. Unacceptable. Greg Olsen play calling is trash. Stop with the screen plays. Another one, playing for stats, not for wins. Here's one. Sigh. I got nothing. Another one. Win the home games and all is forgiven. Wow, there's somebody who's in a good mood today. Team played like a basket of deplorables. Somebody making a sly political equivalence there. Let's see. I say call and beg Tom Coughlin to come back. That whole thing, I understand people saying that he's available.
Sure.
Former great coach of this team. He's been going to go to the Hall of Fame. If it ever got to the point where they made a midseason change, I don't think Tom Coughlin would step in that kind of circumstance. Tom Coughlin had the chance to coach the Philadelphia Eagles this offseason. I think if he had been able to take his coaching staff from New York with him, he would have done that. And then they decided, you know what, we're going to promote Ben McAdoo to head coach, and he was going to have to kind of start over with some of his guys. I don't think midseason is the kind of move that Tom Coughlin would be looking to make. That's my opinion.
Yeah,
that would
surprise me.
Yeah. Let's see. I give up. They have to win 5 straight and 10 total before I buy in again on this coaching staff. A Ryan Leaf-led Chargers team could have beaten this Jags team. On and on and on it goes. And all along, similar sentiment. And again, we get it. You know, there's no – to me, that is the hardest one to get. I get they got blown out by the Patriots last year. The first half of Gus's first season was absolutely miserable. You felt like there were – you could see that coming, and there were more reasons. Now, the talent level should not be an excuse, in my opinion, for this football team not to have that performance yesterday. And, you know, people can say, well, you know, it's the NFL. Look what happened to the Bucs. Okay, but at least the Bucs can point to, hey, you know what, we won one in week
sure.
one. We're 1-1. Had the Jags beaten the Packers and performed this way, you'd still feel bad. You'd say, wow, they really read their own press clippings, and you'd probably be right.
It would look more like a one-week thing. And losing lingers, and the loss – a week one still lingers, and you pile it on, and you're 0-2, and that's what you are.
What do you got coming up, John, on
oh,
the
just
website?
A lot of fun.
I
Mike.
Know you do,
I mean,
but,
just,
but what,
just
what
good
specific
times.
Kind of things
oh,
do Jaguar
oh, specific
fans
good
have
times?
To – yes, or the specific times.
Gus Bradley will speak to the media, I think, via conference call.
2 o'clock?
If I'm correct, around 2. We'll have his thoughts on that, and I'll – tomorrow we'll we'll move on. We'll set the table, and we'll start looking forward. And it's you're in the regular season.
You're going to play 14 more, and you're going to cover them?
Yeah, I'm there whether the fans want me there or not.
they all. I don't think anybody has an issue with John Osier.
Oh.
Well.
I'll forward you some emails, pal.
Yeah? They were blaming you?
Oh, yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
You're such an agreeable guy. Well, me, I get. I mean, nah, they run 10 deep with
it's,
me.
It's sort of like, I don't know, spitballing at the wall. Everybody's getting hit today.
All right. Well, that may be
that's
the
okay.
case. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. We appreciate their sponsorship and every other sponsor out there. Hey, look, we appreciate all the passion. Honestly, I appreciate the fact that there are Jaguar fans lined up to care and express their anger, because I'll still contend that that is preferable to the alternative of just being blasé and not caring.
Well, as we talked about, this fan base is phenomenally passionate. I'll put its passion at the core against anything I've ever been around in terms of sports. And this was a gut punch to that, because they rightfully expected better.
Yep. All right, there he goes. John Osier, senior writer, Jaguars.com. Check him out on Twitter, as you do, at John Osier. For Fat Tony. Tony, any final thought on the way out the door? Can you sum up yesterday in 3 words?
Good job.
That was bad.
I think it's just 3 groans. I think that does it. It was so miserable. I didn't want to come to work today. It was that kind of day where I felt like I was in a time machine and had to go back to doing what I've done for 3 years. It's not like I'm not used to doing this
right.
Monday show. I just thought this.
We'd hope we were beyond that.
Yeah, that I wouldn't have to do it for a while again.
All right, log him in studio with us tomorrow. We'll get a further detailed look at exactly what went wrong before we start turning the page ourselves, moving on throughout the course of the week. So for Fat Tony, for John Osier, for Tyler Devitt, Joe Fortunato, and everybody who helps us put the program on a daily basis, thanks again to all our sponsors and listeners. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
That's great job.
You guys have a good day. Peace.